from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. The election is over, and Californians are letting incoming Governor Gavin Newsom know what their priorities are. From KQED's Politics and Government desk, Katie Orr reports.
In a new survey from the Public Policy Institute of California, 60% of adults say universal health coverage should be a high or very high priority. PPIC President Mark Baldessari.
The election polls indicated that health care was a major concern for Californians, and that seems to be reflected here.
More than half of California adults also say the state should provide tuition-free community college. But Baldessari says people are also feeling less optimistic about the economy, and that could affect their willingness to pay for things Governor-elect Newsom campaigned on, like delivering universal health care and pre-K child care. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Fresno police are investigating Democratic State Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula, who represents the Central Valley. He was arrested this week on suspicion of willful cruelty to a child or child abuse. KQED's Alex Hall has more from Fresno.
Police arrested Arambula at a Fresno elementary school Monday after Child Protective Services called to report a child had been injured. Officers concluded that Arambula was responsible. Although Arambula hasn't been formally charged yet, Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer said the injury in this case warrants a misdemeanor.
If a child receives some type of a broken bone or required sutures, something of that nature would automatically rise to the level of a felony.
Dyer says Fresno police feel strongly that Arambula is responsible for a crime, but there's a court process the legislator still has to go through.
He is somebody that I consider to be a friend. He is also someone who has represented this valley very, very well as a state assembly member.
Fresno County's Republican Party has called for the Democratic assemblyman to resign. On Wednesday, Arambula told the Fresno Bee that he spanked his 7-year-old daughter to discipline her. Here's part of a video interview he did with the paper.
This is something that's really rare for us. This is not, it's a tool of last resort, but it's something that we do. And I spanked her bottom, and she was pretty upset. But that's all that happened.
Arambula thanked Child Protective Services for doing their job. The Fresno Police Department is still conducting interviews. If convicted of misdemeanor willful cruelty to a child, Arambula faces up to 1 year in jail and or a maximum fine of $1,000. A court date is set for March 13th. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
In a rare show of bipartisanship, the U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted to pass the Farm Bill yesterday. KQED's Michelle Wiley has more on how it affects California.
The Farm Bill reauthorizes several different federal programs, including CalFresh, which provides food assistance to an estimated 4 million low-income people in our state on average each month. That's according to the California Budget Center. House Republicans originally wanted the bill to tighten restrictions for these benefits, but ended up walking that back. Manager of Federal Policy with the California Farm Bureau Federation, Josh Ralph, says the bill has something for everyone.
It really does have an impact to the consumer. It strengthens agriculture in America. It helps your local farmer to have access to certain programs and research that they otherwise wouldn't have without a farm bill.
And then there's the citrus psyllid, a bug that has the potential to devastate the California citrus industry. The Farm Bill has included $25 million for specialty crop research to help prevent the spread of that disease. The bill goes to President Trump's desk for his signature next week. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
L.A. City Council voted unanimously this week to impose rules for the first time on short-term rental companies like Airbnb. The new laws allow and regulate rentals in a host's primary residence. Second homes are still not allowed to be rented on these platforms. The California Report's Polly Stryker spoke with KPCC's housing and homelessness reporter Matt Tinoco.
So basically, for the past 3.5, almost 4 years, the city of Los Angeles has been considering how to regulate these short-term rental platforms like Airbnb, but they haven't actually passed the rules yet. And well, they did this week. That's what they did on Tuesday. The city council passed for the first time ever regulation that regulates short-term rental platforms like Airbnb, HomeAway, which they haven't. It took 3 years to get it.
So why'd this take so long?
Basically, lobbying is the answer. Airbnb and other short-term rental platforms are a very, very powerful lobby here in the city of Los Angeles. There aren't any rules right now. That's lucrative because it means there's basically no accountability or oversight over how these platforms operate. Really, the big concern that the platforms have are limitations, on, like time limits or particular limitations on commercial operators. That is, not necessarily the mom-and-pop sort of homeowner who has an extra room who might want to lease out that room on one of these platforms. But the bigger concern is the operators who will, say, maybe like they lease out entire units, which that's sort of the appeal of these short-term rental platforms for tourists, is that it's not a hotel room, it's an entire apartment. It might be an entire house. But I mean, as we all know, that California is in a very, very tight housing crisis here. We need really as many units as possible. And the concern is that when you have landlords who realize that they can make more money by leasing to tourists instead of long-term tenants, that's actually removing really needed housing units from the housing market, which it's not necessarily driving the housing crisis, but it's really not helping.
Matt Tinoco, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the LA Times reports Airbnb said the new law is an important step to legalize home sharing in LA. The new rules go into effect in July. In Butte County, the Camp Fire displaced roughly 50,000 people. Many are still figuring out where else to stay. Here's KQED's Rachel Miro on a program that allows homeowners to help disaster refugees.
On the morning of the fire, with flames and smoke darkening the sky above Paradise, a very pregnant Melissa Johnson packed her whole family into two cars and fled down the hill.
At the time, it was my daughter, 14, and my son, who's 11. My father-in-law, he's disabled, and so is my husband. He's disabled as well. We had three dogs and a cat and a rabbit.
They all gathered at her sister's one-bedroom apartment in Chico.
So that night, we knew we couldn't stay there. It was just too crowded. And the closest place we could find was Redding.
Way up north. In less than a week, she spent $1,000 on hotel rooms before somebody told her about Airbnb's Open Homes program, which pairs hosts with disaster survivors in need of free temporary housing. At the same time in Sacramento, Cindy Dolphin signed up her spare apartment on Airbnb.
I was a bit skeptical that they would be comfortable in my house, but she said anything is better than where we are right now.
And it was a tight squeeze, but Cindy made it really lovely.
It was enough to get Johnson through until she found an apartment. Everything they have is donated, including a baby shower's worth of gifts for little Annette Marie. Born 10 days after the campfire started at a robust 11 pounds and 2 ounces, Cindy Dolphin, the Airbnb host, posted about Johnson's family on Facebook, and her social circle responded.
A playpen, a bedside sleeper. I just got this Christmas tree.
Melissa, Annette, Trevor, Jerry, Kalea, William, the Great Danes Lily and Penelope, the toy poodle Callie, the cat Damon Chewy, and the rabbit JJ will all celebrate Christmas here while they negotiate with their insurance company. Johnson plans to rebuild the Paradise home they ironically moved into 1 week before the campfire struck.
We still own it. What's left of it.
As for Dolphin,
we are so blessed and fortunate to have what we have, and if we can share it with others, just give them a place to regroup and plan for the next step, it makes a huge difference.
For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro.
Airbnb's Open Homes program in Butte County ends tomorrow. We'll have more on why and what's next on tomorrow's show. California's recent wildfires have triggered $9 billion in insured losses. That already giant figure could get a lot bigger, according to the state's insurance commissioner. KQED's Suki Lewis reports.
About 40,000 insurance claims have been filed so far, with $7 billion in claimed losses from the Camp Fire and about $2 billion for the Woolsey and Hill fires. For some context, last year, which included the Wine Country fires, SoCal's Thomas Fire, and deadly mudslide, collectively caused $12 billion in losses. Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones says it's a critical time for the insurance industry.
And looking forward, we know that as the climate continues to warm, as the United States and other countries are not doing enough fast enough, as President Trump pulls us out of the Paris Climate Agreement, we're going to see temperatures continue to rise. And what that means in California is drier conditions, more droughts, more wildfire, more losses.
As a result, he says it's going to be harder and more expensive to get insurance. For the California Report, I'm Suki Lewis.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing customers a real-time dashboard view into all of their financial accounts with insight-driven wealth advisory services. PersonalCapital.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Supermicro, a Silicon Valley-based manufacturer of energy-efficient data center hardware solutions, celebrating 25 years of growth and innovation. Learn more at supermicro.com.
California water officials have approved a controversial plan to restore rivers in the state. But as KQED science reporter Lauren Sommer tells us, they're willing to back off if water users can make their own share plan.
Here's what the State Water Board said to those water users. Rivers in the Central Valley are ailing, so if you can't find a way to share water, we'll do it for you. The rivers are key for agriculture and for cities like San Francisco, but in some years, up to 90% of the water is taken out. That's led to a crash in salmon populations. Some water districts were able to tentatively agree to share water and restore habitat, but others weren't. So the Water Board adopted a plan to increase river flows. But they're leaving the door open for voluntary agreements from water districts instead, if they can find a way to agree. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Sommer.
About 200 people turned out in Redding last night to hear about a controversial plan to raise Shasta Dam and enlarge the state's biggest reservoir. The Federal Bureau of Reclamation wants to add about 18 feet to the top of the 600-foot dam, but opponents say raising it would harm salmon and inundate part of an iconic river that feeds the lake. Ron Stork is with the advocacy group Friends of the River.
In 1989, the California legislature protected the McLeod River from reservoir construction that would expand the reservoir. So it's been illegal to expand this reservoir since 1989.
The Trump administration has revived the decades-old proposal and plans to start construction by 2020, though it's not clear if the project will get the $1.3 billion in funding needed to finish the job or survive the likely court challenges. And finally, in Sacramento, Governor Brown has ordered flags at the state capitol to be flown at half staff in honor of Bill Newsom. The father of incoming Governor Gavin Newsom passed away at his home in San Francisco yesterday. He was a retired appeals court judge and managed the first two political campaigns of Governor Brown's father, Pat. In a statement, a spokesperson for Gavin Newsom called his dad, quote, a proud, lifelong Californian, a public servant of profound accomplishment, and a powerful voice for individual rights and environmental protection. Justice William Alfred Newsom III was 84. And that is the California Report for this Thursday, December 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great day.